Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We'd love for you to be a part of this edition, and you can do that by calling now at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about it with you. Give us a call right now. Now here's Bob Christopher. Well, we are talking about social issues.
Yes, we are. There we go. We are talking about social issues this month and how the grace of God speaks into these social issues and how we as believers can speak into them as we live our daily lives. And I think it really takes some attitude adjustments on our part to be able to deliver the good news in such a way that it is received. It doesn't necessarily have to be agreed to, but it can be received in a way that it makes some sense to somebody. And part of that attitude adjustment is written for us in Romans chapter 12, where Paul starts this particular chapter with this in this way, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have been set apart. These bodies are not our own. They have been bought and purchased by the shed blood of Jesus. So we make those bodies available to him, knowing that how he is going to use these bodies of ours is going to be the highest purpose that we could ever imagine. We're going to experience some incredible things when we know that God is working through these bodies of ours. So we offer them as a living sacrifice. And then he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, when we're talking about the transforming of the mind in opposition to conforming to the patterns of this world or conforming to this world, I think we need to apply that in how we view God and how we view people. So there's a pattern that's out there in the world as far as how God is viewed. So there's this narrative that the world tells about God. It's a wrong narrative. Yeah. It doesn't give us the truth about God. We only find out the truth about God in Jesus Christ. But that wrong narrative about God also creates a wrong narrative about people.
Yes.
So instead of seeing people from God's vantage point, we see people from the world's vantage point. So we see them as objects to gratify desires of the flesh. That's why we have a pornographic industry. That's why we have sexual immorality. That's why we have all of those sort of things out there in the world. Why? Because people are looking at the opposite sex, and now that's both sexes, as objects to gratify desires of the flesh. We have folks that are making judgments about other people based on the color of their skin. And we've seen this throughout human history. So they're saying that one group is better than the other. That's a pattern that is out there in the world. We make judgments against people because of their socioeconomic status. We have the haves and the have-nots. And so there's divisions. Well, where do all these divisions come from? Well, the wrong view of people, which flows from the wrong view of God. So this is where the renewing of the mind must begin. We must begin to see God in light of who he really is, the fact that God is love. And as we grow in our knowledge of who God is and how he has manifested himself to us in the person of Christ Jesus, then we'll be able to see people through his eyes, through his lens, through his viewpoint. And that's when things start to change. So we read a passage yesterday about God taking folks out of both Jew and Gentile and creating one new man. Well, back in those days, that was a form of racism. So yes. Jews didn't associate with Gentiles. Gentiles didn't associate with Jews. There was no love lost between those two groups. Well, what did the gospel do? It tore down the wall of hostility that existed between the two, and it opened an opportunity for the two to become one in Jesus. So now Jews can look at Gentiles and say, hey, they're just like us. They needed Jesus just like we needed Jesus. They needed forgiveness just like we needed forgiveness. They needed life just like we needed life. And so you begin to see them on that basis. And as you do, the problem of racism, the problem of segregation, the problem of division begins to take care of itself. But it starts with learning how to view people the way God views people, to recognize that all of us were created in the image of God. Now, we come out into this world in the image of Adam and Eve and Seth, fallen, but that wasn't how we were originally created. And so when we come to Christ and we understand truth, then we begin to see people differently. Yes. And that's when change starts to happen. So if you're struggling with some of the issues that are out there, one guy wrote to us and he said, I've got a social issue for you. It's my anger toward these people on Facebook who, you know, attack and all of this stuff. I want to attack back and I want to get mad and I want to just dump all of my anger onto them. How can I not do that? Well, I think we have to step back and remember that's a person for whom Christ died. That's a person whom the gospel is available to. And so when we realize that, then it changes what we might say or how we might respond to another individual. So I think when we begin to see people in the right way, I think we have something to say out there in the world. I think we can really start to think through all of these social issues from the right foundation with a proper framework.
Thanks for those thoughts, Bob. Very, very well thought out, and thank you for delivering that. This is Basic Gospel, of course, everybody. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. We'd like for you to be a part of the conversation. Come on in. 844-322-2742. And, Bob, I think we had a question that was posed by Facebook.
Yes, we do. Kristen wrote to us, and she has a question about speaking in tongues. And so she writes and says, could you explain speaking in tongues and how it is used in the church today? And is it a gift all Christians can be given? And she goes on, also, is there a difference in what some call a prayer language and what the word refers to about speaking in tongues with an interpreter? And she says, thank you so much for your ministry and teaching truth. Now, this is one of these points of division within the body of Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
So there are folks who would have the gift of tongues who would look at those who don't and say, you're not as spiritual as I am. There are those on this side that say, you know, I don't need the gift of tongues to be spiritual. So the fact that you're clinging to it means you're a baby in Christ. Yeah. And so we're looking at each other through the wrong perspective, aren't we?
Yes.
And we lose objectivity in finding out what this gift of tongues is all about. So let's start right there, that there is a gift of tongues. We read about that in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now we have to ask some questions. Can everybody get that? Is that a gift for every single Christian? Is that a gift that gives us assurance that we're saved? And that's how this gift of tongues has been talked about.
Yes.
And those are some of the beliefs that, you know, circle this subject matter. So what does the Word of God have to say to us on this subject, Richard? What is truth?
Yeah, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul makes it clear that not everyone speaks in tongues. Not everyone prophesies. Not everyone's an apostle or heals or any of the rest of it. So what he's trying to get across to people who had made spiritual gifts a major competition and a reason to fight one another hammer and tong on these issues, he says, let's back up and realize, first of all, that these are gifts of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's job to give them when the Spirit sees fit in the situations that the Spirit needs to have them. So in that sense, not everyone speaks in tongues, because it's the Spirit's call, not mine.
Yes. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, all these, and he's listed out some spiritual gifts, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Yes.
So it is the Spirit's job to impart gifts as he chooses, as
yes.
he decides, as he wills, for the greater good of the body.
Yes. And there's no indication in this passage that once you've received a gift, any gift, that it's mine, I'm going to hold on to it, nobody else can have it. No, it's still the Spirit's gift. He can give it to me or take it away as he decides, as he wills, again, for the building up of the body. So Paul's statements here have to do with driving out the dissension, driving out the competition, driving out this standing apart from each other instead of being one in the body of Christ. It's no accident that the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is between 12 and 14, where spiritual gifts are talked about, because they were doing anything other than displaying the love of Jesus Christ to each other. And so he acknowledges in chapter 14, yes, I realize some of you have a prayer language. Keep it at home. That's between you and God. Leave it between you and God. But if we are talking about tongues as a means of building up the body of Christ, there must be someone there who understands that language.
Yeah.
We're not on our own to say, oh, here's a language, let me throw it out there and see what happens. There are people there who will hear what is being said. And in fact, if you look back in Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, Luke says that Peter and the others were speaking in tongues, but the emphasis is on the folks who were listening. They heard it in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says, Jesus is Lord, in Aramaic, which was probably his native tongue. Well, there were Greek speakers and Latin speakers and other people from other countries in Jerusalem at that time, and they looked up and said, whoa, what is this? Here's a guy, he's a fisherman, for crying out loud. Where did he learn to talk like this? Well, he learned it from the Spirit, and you heard it from the Spirit so that you can respond to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul means by building up the body of Christ. We're teaching other people about the love of Jesus Christ. We're not showing off in order to score points for ourselves.
Yeah. So in that instance, it was used as an evangelistic
yes.
gift. It was a way that God put forth to disseminate the gospel mm-hmm. through a group of people to a whole host, a large audience.
Yes.
So it was evangelistic. In chapters 8 and 10, or 8 and then in another place in Acts, we see it as a sign gift
yes.
to unbelievers. Now, the unbelievers were the apostles.
Yes.
They never dreamed in a million years that Gentiles or Samaritans would receive the Holy Spirit in the same way that they had received the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
And so when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Samaritans and on the Gentiles, they spoke in tongues to testify to Peter and those who were with him that indeed they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so then Peter could go back to the council at Jerusalem and say, they've received the Spirit in the same way we did,
yeah.
by grace through faith. So we now know that God does not show favoritism, that this gospel message is for all people. God so loved the world,
yes.
that this blessing of Abraham, that the whole world would be blessed through his seed, is actually true.
Yes.
And we've seen it, and we've heard it with our own eyes and with our own ears.
Absolutely. Well, you found Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us. And friends, how many times have you been reading along in your Bible study and suddenly come across a passage that just stops you cold and you wonder, why is this actually in the New Covenant? What does it actually mean? Well, during this Thanksgiving month of November, we have a great resource for you. It's called Hard Passages, a 2-CD series by Bob and Richard, including 20 of the most frequently misunderstood passages in all of Scripture. Hard Passages is yours with your November gift to Basic Gospel. You'll find a donate link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. So make your gift during the month of November, this Thanksgiving month, and we'll send you a copy of Hard Passages. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can also donate to Basic Gospel through the Basic Gospel app and through PayPal. Well, Bob, I think we have a call on the screen there.
We do have a call. We're going to go to our friend Andrew in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, fine. How you doing? All both Bob and Rich and everything, man.
Hi,
y'all,
man.
Do such
hey,
a fantastic
Andrew.
Job. Man, I just love y'all so much, and I was just thinking about listening to you. I've been listening a long time because I remember Bob George. Just when I really began to understand about the gospel, I always believed it. The way it was about, once you're saved, you can't lose salvation, but nobody was saying it until I started hearing y'all. And man, I just so pleased with what you do. It's just amazing. I just hope you continue to do what you're doing. And I just want to have another thing, like you're saying, you know, race. See, really, if we study the Word of God, we all come from, no, all of us, there's only one race, which is the human race. And we understood that. You just explained it.
You're
so,
spot on there, Andrew. And boy, I wish more people would actually buy into that, would actually believe that to be true, because it is true, and that alone would solve a lot of problems,
sure
wouldn't
it? Amen. You said a mouthful. And I have another question I was just asking. I know it, but see, I'm talking to people, and sometimes people use 3 John 3:2 to say that that means we're supposed to have good health, and also means that we're supposed to be prosperous. But what I think they forget, 1 John, the first verse, that to the elder, my beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may go with you, and you may be in good health just as well with your soul. And so I think they used that as a general generality, but that was really one person, the elder John, talking to his good friend. And I just want to make sure that that is correct. And when people talk about prosperity, that verse doesn't lend itself to that, or good health, because like you said before, we can be saved and sick and poor, but as long as we're saved, that's the main thing. So I want you to elaborate on that.
Well, Andrew, I think you've got the essence of it. You know, it would be like you and I having a conversation, and then as we part ways, I say, hey, I hope it, you know, everything goes well with you, and that you may be in good health as you are in good health as far as your soul is concerned. You know, I want that for you. I don't want you to experience sicknesses and diseases and those sort of things. So this is just a general statement. Lots of people, as you said, have taken this and have built a doctrine that, you know, we all can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If we'll just have enough faith and we'll just do enough good things, then we can obligate God to reward us with these material blessings. But that's not the essence of this verse at all. I mean, when God created man, he didn't create Adam and Eve to get sick. He didn't create Adam and Eve to live in poverty. All of those things are the result of the fall. Those came in after Adam and Eve chose independence from God, chose to live in unbelief instead of belief. Now, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're transformed. We go from an unbeliever to a believer. And so we have it right with our souls now. We're exactly where God wants us to be. We do know that these bodies are going to die, but we are going to get new bodies at the resurrection. So what's going to take these bodies of ours? What's going to make them die? Well, for the vast majority of us, it's going to be some type of illness. Yeah. It's going to be some type of sickness. And it may not be the actual sickness. It may be some of the consequences of it. So that's just the way it is. Now, is that God's desire? Absolutely not. Is that our desire as human beings? Absolutely not. But that's one of the consequences of sin in this world. And praise be to God that we have the gospel that gives us the hope that our bodies won't always be this way, that one day we're going to receive resurrected bodies and we will walk totally free from any consequence of sin or any mark of death on us. And that's really good news and great hope that can anchor us today if sickness does hit these bodies of us, of ours. So it's a win-win, isn't it?
Amen. And one thing about it, my wife passed away February the 9th of 2016, and I had some conversations, you know, with Richard about it. And one thing about it, I was from the body present of the Lord. So in order for us to get to heaven, we got to leave here. And so some of it just leaves quicker than others. But it helps because I always was having a hard time with that for a long time. But it gets better, you know, over time. But once you understand whose you are, you know who you are, and you know what results of it's going to be.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
y'all so much. Everybody, what they should, the minister should get up every Sunday and just pray your broadcast and then let people go home.
Oh, Andrew, well, you're such a joy. You're such an encouragement to us. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank y'all so much. Appreciate y'all, too. Now, have a blessed day.
You okay. Too, my friend.
Yeah. Well, guys, we had a question that came in overnight from Robert. Let's listen to that question right now.
Hello, my name is Robert. I was listening to a prominent Bible on the radio, and he stated that the rapture, the pre-tribulational rapture, is not biblical. I'd like to get your thoughts on that and try to understand if he's wrong or if I've been wrong all these years. I hope you can help. God bless you.
Well, I hope I can help as well. I hope we can be of help and encouragement to Robert. You know, we always want to figure out when things are going to take place, especially as we read the Word of God. We know Jesus is coming back. We know there's going to be, you know, a harsh judgment on the lost.
Yeah.
That doesn't affect us as believers, whether we go through it or not. We certainly don't want to go through any of that. So maybe we're taken out of it before it happens. But when you read the scripture, when you just let the Word of God speak, you have to come to a point and realize, I just don't know. What I do know is Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, I'm going to be revealed with him in glory.
Yes.
And that's all I need to know. I don't need to figure out if it's pre-trib, post-trib, if it's pre-wrath. It's another theory as to the timing of, quote, the rapture. At some point, we're going to be snatched out of here, and that's basically what the word rapture means. We're going to be snatched out of here. My general thinking is that happens when Christ returns. It all happens at one time. That's what I think the scripture says. But at the end, we just don't know.
Yeah.
There's lots of folks that give, you know, great insight and show some quote biblical support for the pre-trib rapture, but at the end they're still not sure because it's not abundantly clear in any one of those passages. All we know is Jesus is coming back, and man, that is good news.
That is good news. Bob, talk to our listeners a little bit about the Hard Passages CDs that we have.
We have this wonderful resource. There are so many passages in the Bible that just make you scratch your head.
Yeah.
Some of them make you stumble in your faith with your misunderstanding of it. And we wanted to help that out. So we've taken the 20, I think, most burdensome passages, if I can put it that way, and looked at it through the lens of God's grace in this gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want you to have a copy of it. It's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. I think this will be a great resource for your journey with Christ and a great resource to share with others.
Friends, join us. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, click that donate link, or you can call anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742 to make your gift to Basic Gospel. Outside the U.S. and Canada, you can also use PayPal, or you can use the Basic Gospel Gospel app. Anyway, it's a good way to join us as a partner with Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for a Friday edition tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.